Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, please. I'm having trouble with my voice this morning, so I hope you'll be patient with me. Psalm 119, please. I want to begin reading in verse 49. This is a unique psalm. The word psalm means song. There are 150 songs in the book of songs, we call them psalms in the Bible. And this is a unique psalm. It's the longest, of course, of all the psalms, having 176 verses in it. And you will notice that that the psalms, if you have a reference Bible, you will notice that they're broken up into about 7-8 verses here. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 verses, and each one of them has. It begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If you look at verse 1, you see right above verse 1 this little letter that looks like an N, and that's not an N, it's an Aleph, the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And then it just continues with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and each one of the words, the first word in that verse after the division begins with whatever letter you happen to be on. So if you look at verse 49, you will see the letter Zayin, whatever it is. I don't speak Hebrew, but verse 49 through verse 56 is. Has a theme that we need to look at this morning. And so let's read it. You follow along in your Bible, please, as I read. In verse 49, it says, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." Now, one of the amazing things about this psalm is that in every verse, in all 176 verses, there is a reference to the Word of God. It is either the word that is used is either the Word or a synonym that means the Word. For instance, if you'll look at verse 49, he said, "Remember the Word." In verse 50, he says, "For thy word." In verse 51, he said, "I have not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments." In verse 52. Verse 53, law. Verse 54, statutes. Verse 55, law again. In verse 56, precepts. So every one of these verses has a reference to the Word of God as it is found in this psalm. And the reason is because this psalm is all about the Word of God and what it does for us as believers. Now, I want to take my text verse out of verse 50. And I want you to notice as I read it again. David said, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." I want to speak to you this morning on finding comfort in the Word of God. If ever there was a day when the people of God need comfort, it's today. With everything that's going on in our nation, with everything that's going on in the world, with all of the sickness and all of the distress that we have to face, we certainly need to have comfort. And according to the psalmist here, our comfort is what quickens us. We find our comfort in the Word of God. So let's pray together. And then I want to speak to you on finding comfort in the Word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your blessings and what we receive from the Word of God. Lord, folks did not come here this morning just to hear what I have to say. We came to hear your Word. And so, Lord, I pray that as the Word of God is preached this morning, that, Lord, you will indeed give us comfort in our hearts. Help us to realize what benefits are ours through the book. Lord, help us to realize that you have given us your Word so that it will guide our footsteps, so that it will encourage us and keep us going. Lord, you've given us your Word to quicken, to bring us to life, and Lord, to enable us to keep on in the midst of all the afflictions that life throws at us. So Lord, I pray your blessings upon us this morning. May we find, Lord, that comfort in the Word of God. And Lord, I pray you'll help me as I speak. I want to be a blessing. Lord, I want you to use me this morning. And so as best as I know how, I yield myself to you and just pray that you will bless and enable me and help me as I speak. Lord, help each one of us as we listen and give us what we need. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I suppose that every one of us in this room knows a little something about afflictions. We can be afflicted in so many ways and in so many different areas. And as I was thinking about the message and thinking about the direction that I wanted to go this morning, I thought it would be a good idea to speak on the subject of comfort and how we could how we can get comforted in the things of the Lord. And so then I looked up the word comfort in a concordance, and it directed me to this verse. And when I started looking up other verses that had the word comfort in it, and then looking at some other references, I found something interesting. If we are breathing, we can expect to suffer afflictions. I mean, you know, that pretty well takes in all of us, does it not? There might be one or two of you here this morning that you're dead and you don't know it yet. But if you're breathing, you're suffering afflictions. It's just, I mean, that's just the way it is. And the reason I say that if we're breathing, we can expect to suffer afflictions is because of two other verses that I found as I was looking up the references. For instance, in Psalm 32 in verse 10. The psalmist says that if you are an ungodly person, in other words, you're not saved and your life is characterized by with ungodliness, the psalmist said this. He said, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked." And I thought, well, I agree with that. I think that's probably true just in what I've observed through the years. But then I was directed from there to Psalm 34 and verse 19. And in Psalm 34 and verse 19, David said, if you are a godly person, in other words, if you're saved, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And so it occurred to me that it doesn't make any difference whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved. Affliction is just a part of life. Having afflictions is just a part of life. You know, life is full of afflictions. There is no escaping it. We are born, as Job 5:7 says, we are born as the sparks fly upward. We're born to affliction as the sparks fly upward. We are born the first time into this world, and we come into a world of affliction. And then when we are born again, when we are born the second time, not physically, but spiritually, born from above, then we, although we inherit innumerable mercies, we are certainly born to another set of troubles. Once we are saved, once we are born again, we then have to face spiritual trials and spiritual conflicts and spiritual pains. And so it seems almost like there's a double impact for those of us who know Christ as our personal Savior. You know, I have many times through the years, I've many times met folks who are surprised at the fact that once they get saved, they still have afflictions. You know, they're almost shocked by that. I've had people say to me through the years, you know, Pastor, I got saved and I thought everything was just going to be hunky-dory from that day forward. And I had no idea once I got saved, I was going to have to endure what I have had to endure since trusting Christ as my Savior. A lot of folks think that once they get saved, all their trials are over and all the afflictions just cease and everything becomes peaceful and life is just a bowl of cherries and birds are singing in the background everywhere they go. But it just doesn't work that way, does it? And when life does not work the way they think it should work, then all of a sudden they get discouraged, they are distraught, they are shocked, they just cannot believe that the Lord would allow them to go through any discomfort or any sorrow or any burdens or any affliction since they've been saved. But folks, the simple truth is, even Christians have to face affliction. Whatever your position in life may be, and no matter how long you or short you have been saved, you can mark it down, afflictions are going to come your way. Now, even if you face it head on, you will never escape it. Oh, as a Christian, you can cry out to God, and God will without doubt help you through the trial or help you through the trouble, but even then, He may not turn it aside from you. You may have to go through it, even though He will maybe ease it up a little bit or maybe give you what you need in order to strengthen you and help you through it. But mark this down, He will deliver you from evil, but may turn right around and lead you into the trial. And so trials are just a part of life. As I was preparing the message, I was thinking about the three Hebrew children that we just discussed a few months ago on Wednesday night. And here was Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar said, "You bow and you worship the idol of me." And they refused. They said, "No, we worship God. We're not going to bow and worship your idol. That's worshiping man, and we're not going to do it." And they said, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Well, you'll either bow and worship the idol or you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace." And still they refused. And they said, "No, we're not going to do that." And so sure enough, Nebuchadnezzar stoked up the furnace 7 times hotter than normal and took those boys and threw them in. And then he looked down into the furnace and he noticed that there was a 4th man in the fire. Remember the story? Yeah, it was a 4th man in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar was puzzled. He looked over at his servants and he said, "Did we not throw 3 in the fire?" And they said, "Yeah, we threw 3. He said, "Well, I see a 4th man in the fire." Thank God for the 4th man. I mean, he said, "I see a 4th man in the fire." And God revealed to Nebuchadnezzar that the 4th one was the Son of God, that it was the Messiah, it was Jesus that was in the midst of the fire with them. And as I thought about that story, it became very interesting to me, and I think very applicable to all of us. I noticed that He was not with them to quench the fire. All right, He was not with them to quench the fire. And I also noticed that He was not with them until they were in the fire, or at least not visibly. But He was not with them to quench the fire, or He was not cast with them to prevent them from having to go into the fire. The point is that once they were cast into the fire, He was there to assist them in the midst of the fire. And boy, what a blessed thought that is. Because you see, if all of us have to endure affliction, man, it's comforting to know that I've got my Savior who walks with me and talks with me and guides me and directs me and helps me as I have to walk in the midst of the affliction. And folks, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus will do for us.
we are going to have our afflictions. The fires of affliction will burn all around us. But the good news is that the Christian can make it through the fire. We can make it in the midst of the storm, and we can rest assured that the Lord is going to be with us whatever affliction may come our way. Now, I want you to look at this verse of Scripture this morning. And I want you to notice a couple of things about finding comfort in the Word of God. We can all speak with the words of the psalmist. You'll notice here he says, this is, what's the next word? My comfort. This is my comfort. And then he said, in my affliction. Notice that. You see, you may not be able to speak of my house. You may not be able to speak of my job. You may not be able to speak of my millions. You may not be able to speak of my health. But I'm telling you, every single one of us sitting here this morning can speak of my affliction. If I were to take the microphone this morning and hand it to every person, starting all the way over here and going all the way around and including everybody in the balcony, if I were to have each one of you individually come up and hand you the microphone, every one of us would be able to say, well, here is my affliction. We all go through them. Now, I want to show you this morning that there is a difference between a saved person and an unsaved person when it comes to having to deal with the afflictions. I have often said to you, and many of you have often said to me, Pastor, how do people who are not saved make it? How do they handle the afflictions of life? Well, I want to show you this morning that there is a difference between the believer going through an affliction and an unsaved person going through an affliction. There are three things that I want to call to your attention this morning as we have time. First of all, I want you to notice with me, the Christian has a certain comfort in affliction. The believer has a certain comfort in affliction. Go back to your verse. Look carefully at it, please. The psalmist here begins the 50th verse by saying this. This is my comfort. This. The psalmist says this. I want you to think about what this is. The psalmist says, this is my comfort in affliction. That little word, this, means a lot of different things to different people. You see, a drunkard could hold up a bottle of liquor, and a drunkard could say, hey, everybody, look here. This is my comfort in affliction. And he goes to the bottle to find his comfort. A greedy miser could take a table full of money and run his fingers through it and raise it up and let it fall back to the table. And with a smile on his face, he could look at you and say, this is my comfort. And he takes comfort in the money that he has accumulated. The drug addict could take his drugs and lay them on a table and look around at you and hold those drugs in his hand and say with a shaking hand, this is my comfort. This is where I find my comfort. But folks, I'm telling you, I could go on and on and on illustrating how different people find comfort in different things. People everywhere face affliction, and everyone finds comfort in something when they go through that affliction. Some people find comfort in the sympathy of friends. Some find comfort in sleep. Some find comfort in work. Some find comfort in exercising. Some find comfort in reading. There are people that find comfort in music. But these comforts usually fail when the trial becomes severe and difficult to handle. But the child of God can say with assurance, this is my comfort. You see, folks, God has so designed that His Word is able to meet any problem that you and I might have to face as we go through life. There is absolutely nothing that is not covered in this blessed old book. The child of God can say, this is my comfort. When the afflictions of life came upon David, he didn't look for the wine bottle. David didn't look for the for understanding from his friends or his family or all the people that were around him all the time. He didn't look for some therapist or some counselor or some psychologist to guide him through life's pains. No, when David was afflicted, he reached out and took a hold of the Word of God, held it up and said with a smile on his face, "Hey everybody, look here, this is my comfort." And I'm wondering, can you say that this morning? Is that what you can say this morning? You see, that just may be the problem, Christian. Your problem may be that you are facing your afflictions with things that cannot possibly help you get through it. He said this, in opposition to everything else that is out there, in opposition to everything else that is under the sun, the psalmist realized where his strength comes from. He realized where his help comes from, and he held up his Bible and he said to everybody, "Hey, this is my comfort." But this also shows us, the little word "this" also shows us, that David was sure about what comforted him. He was sure about it. In other words, he was able to explain what comforted him. You know, many times we get comfort out of the Bible, or we get comfort out of our faith, or we get comfort in church, and we can barely tell what the comfort is. We know we get it, we just don't know exactly what it is. Let me illustrate what I'm saying. This man sitting right down here, his name is Russ Doerr. Put your hand up there, Russ. That's Russ Doerr right there. Russ Doerr has dozens of roses that he grows around his house. He's got some beautiful, beautiful roses. He takes care of them. He trims them. He feeds them. He nourishes them. He prunes them. And he's got all these different kinds of roses down at his place. Sometimes in the summer, in the spring, Russell clip one of those roses off, and he'll bring it up and put it on the little shelf in the office where the girls can enjoy it. Some of them are real fragrant. Some of them hardly have any fragrance at all to them. But Russ can tell you the names of every one of those roses. He knows their names. He probably knows, although he may not admit this, but he probably knows why they're named what they're named. People name roses strange things. Now, he can tell you the names of the roses, and he can distinguish between the dozens and dozens of varieties of roses that he has on his property. He can differentiate the rose and tell you the different scents that these roses put off. Now, if he were to blindfold you and stick a rose under your nose, you would smell it and you would say, "Oh, I know what that is. That's a rose." But if you were to blindfold him and then take a rose and stick it under his nose, he would smile and be able to tell you what the name of that specific rose was. You see, basically, all of them smell alike. Basically, they all smell alike. And if they put it under your nose, you'd say, "Oh, yeah, that's a rose." Because they all basically smell alike. But they are as different as anything. All of them are different. And while you and I may just be able to say, "Oh, yeah, that's a rose," to somebody who knows the roses, he would be able to say, "Yes, but that is a specific kind of rose," and he could tell you what it is. Now, I use that illustration to say this. Listen, you're a Christian. You are saved. You do not go through life's afflictions with the same attitude or the same way or the same method that somebody who is unsaved goes through. And what I want you to do, using that illustration, I want you to know the comfort that you experience. I want you to know when God gives you the comfort, I want you to know that comfort. I want you to understand where that comfort came from. I want you to be able to identify it and to realize it and to trust it. And folks, that's where getting in your Bible and reading your Bible and loving your Bible and knowing the promises of the Bible come in. I don't want you to be able to just sit here and say, oh yeah, I found comfort in church. I mean, I'm glad. I hope you do. Please don't misunderstand me. But what I want you to be able to do is say, I have a verse. I want you to be able to say, I have a psalm. I want you to be able to say, I have a promise. And I want you to be able to turn in your Bible to that psalm or to that promise or to that verse and then be able to say, this is my comfort. This is my comfort. It's not just something generic. Oh, well, I'm trusting in the Lord. Well, it's real easy for everybody to say that. It becomes a reality when you have the authority of the Word of God backing where you say your faith is, and your faith is in the Word, and you say, this is my comfort. This is my comfort. I want you to love your Bible. I want you to read it. I want you to feast upon its truths. I want you to understand its promises. I want you to be able to sit down and read a passage of Scripture and then hide that passage of Scripture in your heart so that you can use it throughout the day and throughout the week, and so you can run to it when the afflictions of life come upon you. When something hits us, folks, we should know where to go in our Bible so that the affliction doesn't knock us down and then fall on top of us and keep us from getting back up again. Right. This is my comfort. There's a second thing from this passage I want you to see. Not only does this comfort, or does the Christian have a certain comfort, but secondly, I want you to notice with me that this comfort comes from a certain source. Again, let me read the verse. This is my comfort in my affliction. Okay, what is it? For thy word hath quickened me. You see, the psalmist gets as specific as he can. And he shows us that our comfort as believers comes from receiving it out of the Scriptures. Why do we even want to turn to something else as believers? Now think about that. Why would we, as believers who have the eternal Word of God in our hands, why would we even want to turn to something else? Now, I don't want to say what I'm about to say because I know it's going to be misunderstood. But if it helps one person, I'm willing to take the risk. I want you to listen very carefully, folks. You know, I think that far too many of us are like Job in the Old Testament. I think far too many Christians today are just too quick to run to our friends and to our family or to our neighbors or to our therapist and cry like Job cried in Job 19:21 when he said to his three friends, "Have pity on me, have pity on me, O ye my friends." I'm afraid that too many of us are just too quick to want to run to our friends and our family and maybe even to somebody that has a little authority in the church. I'm afraid that we're just too quick to run to our friends and say, "Feel sorry for me. Help me." You say, well, Pastor, shouldn't we depend upon our friends? To a degree, yes. But folks, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother that is going to be far better able to help you than any friend you have. And you're going to find yourself, if you keep running to your friends for them to encourage you and pick you up, you're going to find, just like Job found out in Job 16 and verse 2, you're going to discover what Job discovered about his friends, and you will eventually say to your friends the same thing Job said to his when Job said, "Miserable comforters are ye all." Oh, that we would learn that our real comfort, our true comfort, comes from the Word of God. And we will never have the real comfort we need until we search the Scriptures and find that specific promise that the Holy Spirit has included in His book that is suitable for our situation. Folks, I'm saying the next time you find yourself afflicted, the next time you find afflictions overwhelming you, instead of running to somebody and bending their ear, instead of running in here to bend one of our ears, instead of just going all over the place trying to find some, instead of spending $150 an hour talking to a therapist, why don't you just get your Bible down, open your Bible up, and start reading your Bible, and let God's Word be the comfort for your heart that He said it would be. The psalmist said in Psalm 85 and verse 8, "Hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people." That's neat, isn't it? God's Word will speak peace to His people. And I assure you, there is not a promise. There's not a greater promise given than this. I mean, just trust that God's Word will be your comfort. I assure you, there's a promise somewhere in this blessed old book for every single affliction that may come your way. Read it. Find it. Read it. Memorize it. Meditate upon it. And claim it as your comfort. Now, let me illustrate. Most Sunday afternoons, not this Sunday afternoon, we're going to our house to eat after church. Most Sunday afternoons, my children and my grandchildren, we'll all meet out here in the foyer, and we'll all stand there for a minute and say, "Where you want to eat? Where you want to eat? Where you want to eat?" And finally, we'll all make a decision, and we'll go to that restaurant and eat. The waitress will come, and she'll take our order, and then she'll go and bring our order to us. And when we're finished, she'll come back and she'll say, "Would you like anything else?" And we say, "No, we're fine, thank you." And so she'll say, "Well, I'll just leave you this." And she'll drop the check on the table. Now, when the check hits the table, my son and my two sons-in-laws will all start to reach and fight over the check. Now, wait a minute, that was a dream I had about a month ago, wasn't it? No, they'll all look at it like it's laced with poison, you know. And so when we get ready, we're all ready to go, I'll get the check, and I'll reach back into my wallet, and I'll pull this little card out right here that has BB&T on it. And I'll take that check. Well, usually here's what happened. Braden will get the credit card from me, and he'll take the check, and he'll stand by my chair and wait for the waitress to come by. And he's been doing this since he was a year and a half, 2 years old. And when she comes by, he'll reach it out and hand it to her. And I just smile and say, "Good, when you bring it back, give it back to him." But they don't ever do that. They bring it back and they give it to me. And I will then take that little slip of paper and I'll sign my name to it. And I'll take my card and I'll put it back. And I've got assurance that that bill is paid. Because backing this card is my bank account. And in my bank account is some money to pay for the meal. And I find comfort in knowing that this little card is in my pocket. I find comfort in knowing that I'm not going to have some great big burly fella come and look me in the eye and say, "You're not leaving here until that bill is paid." I find comfort in knowing that I don't have to stay there and wash dishes the rest of the week. This card is something that I have comfort in. You see, when my debts are before me, this card is my comfort. Put it on there. And they put it on there, and I can walk away. And folks, when the debts of life are laid in front of me, I have something that gives me comfort. And that something is this book that I hold in my hand. When I have to face something and I don't know how to face it, I can just take the book, and I can learn how to face it. That's what this Bible says. That's what David is saying here. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. But then notice this also, and I'll be done. I want you to notice this source of comfort helps us internally. You know, you look at the verse, it says, for thy word hath, what's the next word there? Quickeneth. It quickened me. Thy word hath quickened me. You know what it means to quicken something, what quicken means? It means the you get a splinter underneath your fingernail and you go, ow, and you pull that thing out as quick as you can. The idea is that you're down in the quick. It's alive under there. And when you stick something under there, it's not supposed to be under there, it lets you know that it's alive, does it not? And so here, David says, thy word hath quickened me. Folks, he said that your friends and your family and all the rest of the sources that you find comfort in, they will help you, but it will be an external thing. You can't stay by their side all the time. You can't hang around them all the time so they can keep you pumped up and keep you going. There comes a time when you have to say goodbye and walk away, and you have to deal with your affliction yourself. But what David is saying here is that you can take the Word of God and hide it in your heart, and the Word of God will quicken, it will make alive that which enables you to sustain yourself in the midst of your affliction. The Word of God helps us from the inside out. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, there is a letter of the law and there is a spirit of the law. It is not so much the letter, but the spirit of the Word of God, which is our real comfort. We don't look at the Bible for its paper or its ink or its binding, but we look to the Bible as the living witness that is within the book. You see, the Holy Spirit of God embodies Himself in every word of this blessed old book, so that as we read it and as we study it and as we trust in it, the Spirit of the living God is actually doing the work in our hearts. Amen. This is the true source of the comfort that is provided for the believer. Can I remind you, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples in the upper room, He said, I'm going away, He said, but I won't leave you without a comforter. He said, if I go away, I'm going to send you back another comforter. Who is that comforter? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul said that it's the Spirit of God that quickens us. Paul said in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And folks, this is the amazing thing about the Christian life. This is an advantage that we have as believers that the world does not have. We have as believers the privilege to be able to sit down and read the book that was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but we read that book with the same Holy Spirit in our lives. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own? When you get saved, you become the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so here you are now, able to sit down and read the Holy Spirit's book, inspired book, and the same Spirit that inspired this book is the same Spirit that lives in you, and you're able to read it, and He will guide you, and He will direct you, and He will empower you. And that's why David said, I find comfort in my afflictions through your word. Folks, I tell you, our problem is, and I don't mean to be unkind to you, but our problem is we don't read the book. We just don't read the book. I am convinced that Christians do not read their Bibles like they should. I'm convinced. Because there's no way under the sun we would be so defeated and so discouraged in so many areas if we were claiming this book to be our book and we read it like we're supposed to read it. Man, there would not be this up and down and in and out and hot and cold. There wouldn't be all that stuff. There would not be all this, I can't come to church today because I've got so many problems. There wouldn't be all that. You know, the Bible quickens us. It stirs us. It motivates us. It keeps us going. And when the afflictions come, and they're going to come, it's a fact of life. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many weeks or years or months or decades you've been saved. You are going to be afflicted. That's life. That's just life. Boy, when the afflictions come, what's the first thing we want to do? We want to do like Job. We want to run to our friends. And we want our friends to pat us on the back and say, oh, it's okay, it's okay. But wait a minute, our friends have got to leave. Instead of running to our friends, let's run to Jesus. Instead of running to our support group, let's run to Jesus. I mean, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Get in your Bible. Sit down and open your Bible. Say with a convicted heart, God, there's something in this book for me. There's something in this book for my heart. I'm telling you, as a pastor, one of the biggest blessings I get is when one of my church members comes to me and I know that they're afflicted. I know that they're hurting. I know what they're going through, and they come to me and I say, how you doing? And a big old smile comes over their face and they say to me, Pastor, I got a verse this morning. And boy, I tell you, I get a calm come over me because I know I don't have to sit there and try to pump them up and get them going and keep them going. I don't have to do that. The Holy Spirit of God's already quickened them. Amen. Do you know what? Here's the way we are. This is us right here. Little affliction comes along, boom, knocks us down. Knocks us down. Sunday rolls around, and you know, now you know, sky's blue, grass is green, Pope's a Catholic, some things just are what they are. You know that I'm going to preach. You know that when you come in here on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, you're going to see me get up out of that chair and walk up here and say, open your Bible. You know that. You know beyond a shadow of doubt that when you come to the Church of the Open Door, a message from the Word of God is going to be preached. You know that. Amen. But let's suppose that on Friday the affliction comes. Why is it that when the affliction comes on Friday, well, I just can't go to church today. I just am so discouraged. I'm so down. Oh, poor me. Blah, blah, blah. My friend, you need to be in the house of God when the affliction has hit you on Friday. You need it more than you realize. And when you sat home and felt sorry for yourself, you just opened yourself up for the devil to dig your hole a little bit deeper. What you ought to do when the afflictions come is to realize what David realized and say, hey, wait a minute, this is my comfort. I'm not finding my comfort in Mike Cole. I'm not finding my comfort in John Campbell. I'm not finding my comfort in Ron Reed. My comfort is in the Word. My comfort's in God. I'm going to get in the book and I'm going to read it and I'm going to hide its Word in my heart. I'm going to meditate upon its precepts and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit of God that inspired this book, that gave life to this book, give life to me as I hide the Word of God in my heart. I told you one day years ago, I was in a pastor's fellowship meeting with Dr. Tom Malone down in West Virginia, and they had a question and answer session after lunch, and somebody asked Dr. Malone, who's now in heaven, God bless him, I tell you, I miss him. Somebody asked Dr. Malone, said, Dr. Malone, do you read your Bible every day? Dr. Malone said, I sure do. He said, well, how long do you read? How much do you read every day? Dr. Malone looked out and without even thinking about it, he said, I read it till my heart burns. Next question, please. And that just went over most everybody's head. A boy, it didn't go over my head. I sat there and thought about that, and I thought, my goodness, that is a great truth. Just get in the Bible and start reading it until your heart burns. Until you start finding that peace and that joy and that satisfaction and that comfort. I mean, listen, folks, there's not a subject that God hasn't covered. There's not a problem God hasn't covered. There's not a solution that God has not handled. There is not anything that God hadn't thought of. I mean, everything we need is right here in this blessed old book. It quickens us. It quickens us. Now think of this, and I'm done. You remember the day you got saved? I remember the day I got saved, 38 years ago. I sat in that church and that preacher preached. Oh my goodness, he was standing up there naming all my sins. I was so mad at my mother. I told my mother, I said, "You told him all my sins. You did. You told him." She said, "I did not." I said, "Yes, you did. There's no way that guy could have." I said, "Every time he got on one of them, he pointed his finger at me." She said, "Oh, no, he was pointing his finger at everybody." And I said, "No, he's pointing it at me." She said, "Well, I thought it was a great sermon." I said, "I thought it was awful." She said, well, it'll be better next week." No, I'm not going back next week. But I did go back the next week. And he preached on my sins again. Pointed his finger at me. Shook his finger at me. Shook it. You ever be in church and you look around, you think everybody's gone but you. Just you and that preacher, and he's ripping your insides out. That's how I felt. I was devastated. 4 Sundays went by. 4. And I vowed with each Sunday after this, as we were driving home, I'd never go back again. But on that 4th Sunday, I was standing back there. Man, the Spirit of God was pulling on my heart. I knew I needed to be saved. There was no doubt about it. I knew I was lost. I knew that I was unsaved and had to get saved. I knew that. And boy, during that invitation, I walked down that aisle and got on my knees. And I confessed my sin. I said, "God, I'm a sinner." He knew that. I said, "Lord, I cannot save myself." He knew that too. I said, "Lord, if you will, I'll let you forgive my sin, save my soul." And boy, he did. That was 38 years ago. 38 years ago. Do you realize, dear friend, that on that day, 38 years ago, I was quickened by the Holy Spirit. I was transformed from death unto life in that amount of time. Just as quick as I put faith in Christ, I was quickened. I was saved. And now for all these 38 years, it's been affliction after affliction after affliction after affliction after affliction. How, you say, "Pastor, how do you keep going?" Well, every day I go, "Okay, Lord, quicken me again." And I read his book. "Quicken me again, Lord. You did it once 38 years ago, but I need you to quicken me again. I need you to give me something out of this book this morning that will just keep me going for another day. And then tomorrow I'll come back and I'll get some fresh stuff." And that's what the Word of God does. Look at it. "This is my comfort in my affliction." What is that, David? "For thy word hath quickened me." And thank God that this book has the answers. You know, there's been a lot of times in 13 years where I've gone to this guy here and talked to him. There's been a lot of times where this young man and I've sat and talked. There's been a lot of times where I've talked to this man over here. And they couldn't always give me what I needed in my heart. But I want to stand here before you today and say, folks, with a raised Bible and a raised hand, there has not been one time in 38 years, not one time, where I've gone to my Heavenly Father and I've said, "Lord, I need something. Lord, I don't know if I can make it tomorrow. Lord, I don't know if I got the energy to do this. Lord, I don't know if I want to do this. So, Father, you're going to have to give me something here." And man, you just start reading this blessed old book, and all of a sudden the author of this book, who, by the way, lives in your heart, the author of this book starts to give you something. Starts to feed you, starts to give you those vitamins and those nutrients and those, that nutrition, starts to give you that little pat on the back, starts to give you that, come on, man, you can do it. Come on, let me help you up. Let me get you. There you go. See, you can do it. And the grace of God just keeps unfolding. And folks, listen, I'm just saying here this morning, listen, it's bad. These are bad times. They're going to get worse. It's not going to get better before it gets worse. It's just going to get worse. We are in the last days of the last days. And I'm telling you the truth right now. You better have a relationship with God. You better have a walk. You better know this book, because you're going to need it. Let's get in the book. Let's get in the book. Let's just get in it and read it and love it and learn it and study it and meditate upon it. Hide its words in our heart that we might not sin against God. May God help us to love His Word. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so very grateful that we have a Bible that's filled with promise after promise. Father, I pray that You will help us to take what we've heard this morning and apply it and use it. Lord, help us to understand that we need to be reading our Bibles daily. Lord, this seems to be the thing that we do not do. When, Lord, the thing that we need to do is read the Bible. So give us, I pray, a burdened heart for the Word of God. Lord, there are so many of our people here today that are facing life's afflictions. There are health problems. There are family problems. There are job problems. There are just emotional problems. Lord, there are so many things that afflict the people of God. But Lord, help us, I pray, to realize where our help comes from. Help us to realize where our strength comes. And Lord, may we get in the book. May we read it, make it a part of our daily routine, make it a part of our lives. And Lord, allow the Holy Spirit of God to guide and direct and light the path that we walk upon. Lord, help us, I pray. Oh, dear God, speak to our hearts this morning and give us a burden for the Word in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, God is speaking to my heart this morning. God is working in my heart. And I want you to pray for me. I need to get in the book. I need to be in the Word. I have not been in the Word like I should, but I need to be. And preacher, pray for me. Would you slip your hands up and let me pray for you all over this building? Raise your hand. Yes, God bless you, folks. God bless you. Amen. Good, 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 good. Amen. That's a wonderful sight. Now, folks, the Lord will help you. You get in the book and He'll help you. You'll grow and you'll be strengthened. And you'll find strength that you never knew you had, because it comes from inward. It comes from inside out. Let me ask this question and then we'll sing. How many of you here this morning will say, Pastor, you talk about reading the Bible and all that, and you talk about saved and unsaved, and I'm sitting here thinking, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. Preacher, I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my soul. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, dear friend? Let me pray for you this morning. Just lift your hand and hold it up, and I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you, I promise, but I will pray for you. I will pray for you. Is there a hand? Is there a hand? Anybody? Anybody? All right, I do not see a hand. All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together today. Bless, I pray, what's been said. Father, help us to take Your Word at face value. And Lord, find the comfort that can only be given through the words of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that You will help us to face the afflictions of life with the Word of God in our hands. And then, Lord, may that comfort be given. Lord, You know our needs today. Meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, dozens and dozens of hands were raised. And Lord, give us, I pray, a broken heart for what we've heard this morning. And Lord, may we be encouraged in the things of God. May we not be discouraged, but Lord, may we be encouraged as we realize all the promises of God are faithful and true.
Lord, I pray that you will just bless these that have raised their hand this morning. And may we be faithful in all things and trust you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.